What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Celtic Time Podcast. It's your boy Ricky, aka Dick Chuck, aka the man behind the can at Celtic Time Official. Here, as always, with my conversation accomplice, the man with the hunch about Worcester, Travis.
What is cracking, Fizzle Fiends? Welcome back to another episode of the Celtic Time Podcast. And per usual, we are stoked that you are here. And this week, we are getting back to something we haven't done in a while. We have some cool friends on board with us today. We have Jesse, Brad, and Josh from the band Foxfires. And we're going to talk about what they've been up to. Welcome, boys.
What is up?
Hello. Hello.
Just for our listeners, if you don't mind identifying your voices so they could try to tell you apart.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Josh.
And I am Brad.
And for keen listeners, you might recognize Brad's voice because Brad's been on the show before. He's Mr. Two-Timer now.
Yeah, he's really big-dogging us left and right.
Brad is. I think Brad actually might be our first Two-Timer. I don't think anybody else is.
First one. Call me the deuce, baby. Ow! Wait, yeah, no, don't call me that. Don't call me that, please.
Brad the Deuce Rowe, how you feeling?
That's
head. Awesome. So first things first, you guys have been hard at work and while everybody else was kind of chilling at home, you guys were writing and you put out Marginalia, which I'm into. Like, the sound is heavy. It feels well constructed, but I'm more curious, like, how did this album come about? Like, did you guys just decide to write or was it planned?
So, are we going to answer this honestly, or are we going
to
come up with this game on the fly?
Yeah, maybe a little bit both.
Okay. I think, as you guys know, we're friends in real life as well as the internet. I'm not great with dates, but we had been writing riffs, and I had been writing lyrics for years. I think our last release before that was 2015.
Yeah, 2015, right?
Yeah, So at that point, we had done two EPs and an LP and had been kind of workshopping songs. I use that term pretty loosely. Life, we're all old men. If you can't hear from our voices, we're pretty grizzled. Our drummer has a family. Everybody's got jobs and all that nonsense. And we finally, I think it was... Our timing with the pandemic was pretty brutal.
It was crazy.
We didn't plan on... being like the band that did something during the pandemic. In fact, we had planned on just business as usual. We had written some songs. We were going to record them. We were excited to tour. But things didn't go quite as planned. If anybody else wants to fill in some deets there.
So, yeah, we actually recorded. We booked time at God City.
Oh, shit.
Shout out those nice guys. Yeah, recorded with my good friend Zach Weeks. He was excellent. We did everything in 2 days. It was nuts. And... So we recorded March 9th and 10th of 2020, which, if you'll remember, was like pretty under the
right
wire.
In the shit.
Like, I remember being at the studio and Connor, who's like, you know, a healthy skeptic about pretty much everything in life, was like, our drummer Connor, he saw that Harvard wasn't letting people back from spring break. And he was like, oh shit, like the smart people are taking it seriously. So it might actually be bad. Like, we were like, oh, this is, you know, it's bird flu, you know,
we
like,
didn't
think it was going to be anything. And then like by the end of that week, we had like a couple of extra vocal parts we needed to record. We were doing them ourselves at home later that week. It had already gotten, we did those over Zoom. Like in that like 4 day span, it went from like, wow, this might actually kind of be something to like, nobody would go out in public or like see anybody or anything like it.
Yeah, we were
right under the wire.
Your living room on Zoom.
Yeah.
It was still like masks and checking it out. Although I think we were in each other's bubbles. So
I didn't even know if it was even masks yet. It was just like, don't go in your fucking house. Yeah,
right. Yeah. I feel like that was like just before like the world shut down on the 15th. And then like 2 months later, they're like, if you wear a mask, you might be okay. Maybe.
Right. That first minute there was just like, all right, I guess, you know.
Yeah,
our
last conversation really at the studio was kind of about that. I remember we were kind of just smoking and drinking beers outside, just soaking it all in before we go back to regular life. And And like, wow, this might really be a thing. It's kind of spooky, man. Who knows what's going to happen? And sure enough, it's been 100 years. We're all in our 60s now. And the world has burned.
But yeah, so to get to follow the actual topic, we sat on the record forever because of that. We finished it pretty early. It was it was mixed and mastered by the summer. And then we were just like, well, what do we do now? You know what I mean? Like,
there's no way to tour on it or play shows on it at that time. And we kept kind of waiting to see, you know, we didn't want to release it and just not even be able to do a release show or anything. And then time kind of worked in our favor eventually, because by the time things started kind of opening up, we had already made the decision like, well, we don't want to sit on this forever. Who knows what could happen? Right. Like, we might as well release it. And then we ended up being able to work out a release show. Although even that was not, easy process. For listeners, we have a hound dog and a Akita pit bull mix in here duking it out on the other side of
annihilating a slipper right now.
It's okay. This is a dog friendly show, so we're good.
You're just tearing a slipper to shreds.
You guys sat on the recording for a year. Like, that must have been frustrating.
Yeah, almost two.
Almost two.
When did it come out? 2022, right?
I guess.
That's what Spotify says. It's 2023. Yeah.
If I was going to Google that information, it would be Spotify would tell me. So,
last year.
So that must, like, hey,
go ahead. Sorry, go ahead. I'm stepping all over you right now.
No, this is your show. So please tell us what. Nothing I have is that interesting.
Josh, my middle name's Bo. That's all you've got to know.
I'm looking us up on Apple Music.
What the fuck were we talking about? That was incredible.
2022.
It came out 2022.
Yeah.
So to sit on it for 2 years, that must have been frustrating.
Yeah, it's brutal. Yeah. Especially because as I mentioned, we have, you know, it can be a little more difficult these days for us to get together to do shows and weekend tours and stuff like that. We had a window that we were available and we're really capable of doing some stuff. And that window, kind of, we watched it come and go during that time. And that was a bit of a heartbreaker.
That's from so that window, since it didn't happen, were you planning on getting like outside of New England, or was it like a New England focused window?
I'd say yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the goal is always to go as far as possible. And as we have these shows coming up, and I think the furthest we're getting is Vermont. So you can see that it doesn't, you know, we aren't able to stretch our legs as much as we'd like to sometimes, but yeah, I mean,
that weekend warrior should be
a difficult time to make shows right now.
It's really, really is. But even to get out of state, like, that's the beauty of New England, where you can tap four states in a weekend.
For sure.
And feel like you actually put together. Oh, well, yeah, you're back to Mass.
Twice in a weekend, just really double down on the big guy.
Yeah.
We're wide enough. I mean, Greenfield's, what, hour and a half from Worcester, so.
Yeah, Western Mass might as well be Vermont.
Yeah, we kind of consider it. It's definitely outside of our usual zone, in that we never really, I think we played Western Mass maybe twice.
Yeah.
Esteemed 13-year career.
You guys have been together for 13 years.
Yeah. First show was January 11th, 2011.
That's 12. Wow. That's 12 years, I think.
I usually have a calculator 12? With me. Let me check.
You're coming up on 13.
Yeah.
That's dope as hell.
Oh, so, no.
You've killed him.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ricky.
I'm good.
We're so old.
My lunch just like hit me again in the back of the throat, and I was like, I'm either going to cough into this microphone. I don't know where mute is on this thing. And
I saw you work these out. With a new button.
Yeah. <It's> like, working
awesome. All right. So, is who chose Western Mass? Like, I know you guys are going out with Sync. Did you pick the routing? Did they?
It was a little bit. We discussed it a little bit, but the goal again was to get as far as possible within our stipulations, which few of the members of Sync like have to work on Friday. So we were like, let's get as far as, you know, it'll suck for them, but they can do it. So that was because that's the Thursday night, that's what kind of predicated that. We actually had a show booked in New Brunswick until like a week and a half ago, and that fell through, unfortunately. We lost the venue it was supposed to be at. So I hit up my friend Nick from Vermont, and he pulled something together for us last minute, which it's very hard to book shows 4 months in advance. Once the New Jersey show got canceled, I was pretty convinced we just wouldn't get a show. So I was like, shit, I guess we'll try Nick. And he stepped up, and we luckily got a show. And it was like the fastest. We lost the show and had a new show within like 45 minutes, I think.
And it's are really, really fun and cool for us. So I'm actually pretty excited. Yeah, I was excited to go to New Jersey, but Vermont, that'll be a great show Saturday night. It's going to be killer.
That's dope.
That's right.
And it's in a house.
We went to
a house show?
Yeah.
I won't say where exactly because I don't want to make this come off as like an insult because the place is fantastic. We played a show with this band from Poland a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, a long time ago maybe. It was a basement show and one of the pipes got pulled down from the ceiling and there was then septic water like leaking into the basement. So we got pulled. Well, we were told it was just like runoff water. But
was it a dirt floor too?
Everybody
was like washing this one part of the floor. It was just dirt, or dust. So it was just this cloud of dirty, like basement dirt dust, like everywhere. While you were like just trying to watch the bands.
That show determined that like I was gonna maybe live to 75, and now it's 70 based on that one show.
Yeah, but that shit's some of the most hardcore stuff I've heard. That's like hardcore.
Yeah, you haven't played in shit water to 25 people? I don't think so.
Shout out Government Flu. That was the band from overseas. They were awesome.
Yeah, Poland's finest.
Yeah. They're really good. Government Flu.
That's fantastic. Flowers. So is this your first time playing in Vermont?
No. Even that shit show, literal shit show.
Oh, that shit show is in Vermont?
Yeah, we played a lot.
Vermont's kind of been one of our spots we go to pretty often.
Vermont and Ohio.
Yes, strange.
Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where the label that released two records of ours is from. So we got invited to some shows out there, and then because of real life, we weren't able to book much around it. So one time we drove straight there and back, and another time we drove to Cleveland, and then we had a show in Detroit, and then we drove back. So, yeah, Ohio.
Hire us to be your booking agents. We're great at logistics.
I was going to say, I can't believe you guys are still just booking your own shows. I feel like there's tons of people out there that are doing bookings these days, but I haven't really looked.
Oh, yeah. They book bands that people go to see, though.
That's
the, yeah.
That's the trick.
Exactly. We're a huge money maker, but we try to keep it really insular. You know, we're not trying to spread the money around.
Yeah. No middleman needed.
There's just no 15% going to a booking agent over here, buddy.
No, you guys can get your own shit floor shows. You know, you don't need nobody's help.
That's right. And we have a thing in our rider that asks for an up-to-date plumbing code.
Learn by experience. I like that.
Yeah, somebody just puts tape on the pipes that you're not supposed to pull down on so they don't break.
Precisely.
I mean, with that kind of
thing. We need the signage. We want specific signage where the sewage lines are, just in case. We'll go from there.
With that kind of history, it's a little dangerous to go on tour with a band called Sync.
this will be hopefully a regular shit show and not like a classic Foxfire shit show.
Yeah, actually, one of the shows is at the Wallingford American Legion. Wambleg is closing down next month, RIP.
No, I'm very familiar with that venue. So I'm from Connecticut, and that was one of the spots that we had to go to.
Yeah, Wambleg rules.
Are you guys working with Manic for that show?
No.
Is that a Manic production?
Do you know Sean Asselin? You know the Asselin brothers? Like Sean and Brett. Shawnee A was in Product of Waste and a few bands from Boston, but he plays in a band called The Work right now.
Okay.
Anyway, I just texted him, and he was like, yeah, I'll take care of it. And then he
it's dope.
The venue got double booked, so he sent me the flyer, and there's seven bands playing. They didn't cancel either. But it's gonna be. Speaking of shit shows, like it's gonna be very fun though. It's on Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, a Friday night festival. Everybody gets 15 minute sets.
Yes.
So
yes,
that truly that will be a Foxfires classic shit show.
That'll
be on Mile. We're gonna be. I'm sure.
That'll be on the
a couple sheets to the waves.
Yeah. So that'll be fun.
Now, are you nervous about touring during a Bruins playoff run? Have we been able to figure out like what the plan is? We to stream games, like.
I've been coordinating with Mr. Archie Bellows from Sync, and Charles is also a gigantic Bruins fan from Charles from Sync. I haven't been coordinating with him. I will be bringing my laptop, and as long as we have access to Wi-Fi, I'm sure we'll be watching plenty of Bruins playoff action. And ultimately, playing shows with Foxfire is probably the only thing that would get me to potentially miss a Bruins playoff game. So I'm happy to, you know, if there's a game we've got to miss, we'll make that work.
All right.
It would be a baller move to have the phone set up right next to the set list so you can just kind of like keep an eye down.
Well, unbeknownst to these guys, I actually have a projector that I bought and a white sheet I'm bringing so we can just project the games during our set.
That's the backdrop.
We're going to be pretty dialed and we're going to be charging separate admission at the door for anybody that wants the bar Bruins experience.
Oh my God. Don't say that on this podcast. They're litigious with their material.
Oh,
the NHL sues you guys and us, and we're like, what the fuck?
We're gonna get sued from all sides by hockey related entities on this one. As Travis knows.
Oh shit, yeah. Yeah, we did do so. Josh hit me up to do a rip of a shirt. I don't know if you guys want to announce it. I don't want to steal your thunder.
This is
our retirement plan, baby.
This is 2.0. Time exclusive. Here it comes.
Sorry, hold on. I'm going to try to. It's an audio podcast, so it doesn't fucking matter. I was going to show it, but it's an Ice Cats rip, and it has the Ice Cats logo.
We got scratch all over that thing, and
that's right.
It's going to take our merch to the next level.
Those kids are going to love it.
But legit, they might. Because it's a weird just like hockey shirt and Vermont kids love hockey.
Vermont is a whole other world. I play in another band, Mountain Man. Shout out us. And we just played some shows a couple weeks ago. We played in Vermont. And it's always just such a it's like so close and it feels like it's so much further away, just how different it feels up there, you know. But they have the whole state seems like it has a great little punk scene tucked away in different corners.
Definitely. Oh, it's gorgeous.
And yeah.
Nick is out. I know you mentioned Nick, the gentleman that's booking it and also was playing in one of the bands that we're playing with.
Dude,
I have no doubt anybody else on the planet books a show, 3 weeks out from the date of, I'd be pretty worried. And him, like, I'm sure it's going to be great. Not worried about it at all.
Yeah. He's
That's a lot of trust.
Supportive, inclusive vibe that you don't really see all that much,
Yeah.
Some of the bigger cities. Yeah. They're just everybody's down. Everybody stays the whole show. You know, in my experience, like where there was like a bunch of your classic like crust punk kids and then a bunch of like hippie dudes and you know,
that's Connecticut. Like,
there was a guy in a suit.
Oh, that's Vermont. You're talking about Vermont.
Vermont, yeah. You know what I mean? There was just like and everybody stayed, a bunch of people bought merch. It was great, you know.
Somebody's daughter is selling you bracelets. You got it all going on.
It's really cool. And you don't see that, you know. Here all that much, you know what I mean?
No, I agree. I very much agree.
Huh. I've only been to Vermont once and it was last year, which is very shocking because like everything I love about life tends to come from Vermont, and I've only done it one time.
Oh man, I can talk about Vermont for the rest of my life.
Archie said he never actually had been. He's never been to Vermont. Or like Berlin, he's like or any of the places. So we're gonna have from Sync. And we're going to have to bring them on a nice little...
We should do a tour of, like, former Foxfires shows. And they'll be like, this is the pipe that burst. Over here, where the projectile vomited into a hit in the ground.
I'm hearing social media content. I would like that post.
I can remember a passport.
One time we played Burlington, and we didn't have anywhere to stay. And, I'll try to keep the short version of the story. We didn't have anywhere to stay, and a friend of ours from up there was like, my family has a camp on Lake Champlain, but it's on the New York side. So it was like hours away. You had to go all the way around the lake. And we were like, fuck, all right, whatever. You know, we were like all a little, half in the bag. We're like, let's go. We drive all the way out there. it's the kind of place where you like lose service 20 minutes before you get there. So it's like we're driving down this like it didn't even feel like a road. It felt like we were driving through a field.
Well, we were for a lot of it.
and then we got to like just like the shore of the lake. Then we were literally like 10 feet from the water and there was a cabin there. And we were like, dude, what if there's somebody in this fucking thing right now? We'd be like,
this is the start of a horror film.
It's pitch black.
Suddenly
it was like 3 in the morning. Yeah.
Pitch black.
This is a horror film.
We barely know the kid that had hooked us up. We grew to know him quite well.
No phone service, you know, and it was a padlock with a combo. So we're like, what if the combo's wrong? What if there's somebody in the fucking house? So we walk up and long story short, it was the accommodations were lovely. The padlock was fine, and there was nobody there. And we just left, and then we left and had a great
show. There's a little more to that story that Jesse's leaving out, which is the true horror aficionados will appreciate this. Okay. So at this point, we got there. We were pretty paranoid. I was pretty paranoid. Yeah. I'm sure I was freaking stoned and like kind of freaking out.
I'm excited.
We get into the house after finally building up bravery to get inside, and we look around, and it was very damp. And like a little, little mold, like I hadn't been in, so no one had been there for a long time. Summer cabin. And as a cabin boy, you probably were less off put by this, but I guess cabin boy Jesse. But so we get in there, and Connor was the first one to notice this. He goes, "Why are all of these pictures not of the kid that sent us here?" And there was no one that looked like him. There was no evidence to suggest there was any relation to this person at all. There was like weird creaks in the ceiling. I remember waking up. I woke up like wet, thinking maybe I pissed myself, but it was actually dampness.
Very wet.
And while we were burgered, I did not sleep well that night. I was absolutely terrified.
Yeah. They just had VHSs that we just kept putting in to like keep like just have noise on. We're like, oh, this is like childhood VHSs. And we're just like putting them on to keep like this.
Like creaks. Cinderella's playing slowly in the background of this fucking horror film.
It was like, it's okay, we're okay, no one's gonna hurt us. And it was just like, oh. And still when we woke up, like we came outside and there was still like we're on the shore of these like all like there was just summer cabins for people, so nobody was there still. And we're just like in the middle of nowhere on Lake Champlain, just like trying to keep ourselves together.
You're like texting your families before you go to bed, like just in case they don't wake up.
There was no
Yeah, we were
in the service, like, and we had like handwritten notes of like take the left there. On this thing.
It
was petrifying.
We were just
bats.
We didn't have like radio. I remember we were listening to the Bruins on the way, I think, and they were like, it just kept going, and it just like lost all signals. Like it was just a dead zone.
Oh my god!
Oh,
how come nobody has written this horror film of a band getting murdered?
I'm sure they have. It just hasn't.
Was it that green? The green room was close, but that was more Nazis, and
that's true. Yeah,
still frightening. And I feel like I've been in that scenario very closely, but I was like, "There's not that many Nazis, thank God."
That's ridiculous.
It's always a good thing. The least amount of Nazis, the better, you know.
Yes,
those random storage places, though, those are always like the interesting parts of the touring life. Like I can remember being back in the few times that we did it where we got brought back. We were in Georgia and we got brought back to some random kid's apartment. And we had seven dudes with us. So it was seven dudes plus the guy that was, you know, leading the way, all piling into this house. And his roommate is sitting in their living room watching The Notebook and just crying his eyes out. And then in walks eight dudes. I've never seen somebody run so quickly. And like, there was nothing wrong with him having feelings and watching a movie.
Was he crying because The Notebook fucking sucks?
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to ask him. He was
I hate that movie.
I've never seen it.
That's actually what then.
I'll never do it again.
You guys should write like a concept record.
Sorry?
You watched it on tour, The Notebook?
Josh one time was on tour with my other band, Mountain Man, in 2012, and our van just like irreparably died in Florida. And we got stuck down there. It was like right at the end of July, so everything big enough to take our equipment was rented for FSU, Florida State, like moving week in the middle of the summer. So we just got dropped off in the middle of nowhere at some hotel. We were stuck there for like a week. We had no money. It's a big long story, but the bread and butter of this part is that one of the nights we watched like 10 Ryan Gosling movies in a row.
I do love Ryan Gosling.
And then I think we watched Notebook.
Ricky, you may remember this period in time because shortly after that tour, I was fired from SJC Drums.
Oh, it was a grand time. There was a lot of bad shit going on.
I do remember you being there. I think you were there for like a month when I first started, and then you were there anymore. Oh, what a time. Awkward. What a time.
Oh, man. I have more to say off air. I'll leave it at that.
we'll do another episode like with just people that used to work at SJC.
Oh, I hope you have 10 hours. All right. I'm zipping my lips. Zipping them up.
This is the Loosey Goosey podcast, and we like that. So, yeah. All right. So you guys are going out end of the month or beginning of May. What am I talking about? Do you like coming home to Worcester and like playing somewhere as cool as like a house show here, a punk show here, or punk house rather is what I'm trying to say here in Worcester? Like, does it feel like a coming home type of deal, or is it just kind of, it just worked that way?
I feel like, interestingly, either in a perfect world, either kicking off or coming back to a home show is like the best thing in the universe. In this case, it'll be awesome, man. We have so many, I know that we're kind of avoiding saying where it is. It's an Ask a Punk scenario to those listening. And please do. We'd love to have everybody come out. But I'm not using the term where we're playing on purpose. But we have a lot of history there. There's so many cool things to say, but because I'm such a negative shithead, one of my favorite memories of the place that we're playing is that all of our very close friends, dude, Shane LaVoy, who I've known since I was in sixth grade, he's not a hardcore dude, you know, he's not typically the guy there, but he was a good friend and always came out and supported us. One of the first times we played there, which probably would have been 2012 or 13 or 14, you know, very early on, he fell into a pile of sheet metal and like ripped himself open and has a scar in his back to this day from just eating shit through the face. And it's just, I really appreciate that Shane is forced to forever remember our band, whether he wants to or not.
Dude, that was like, one time, I got two of my friends from high school who like aren't really into punk to come out to one of our shows. We played at the Hotel Vernon, and I was loading out after the set, and there was a big throng of people on the sidewalk, and unbeknownst to me and my, you know, very sweet, normal friend who was helping me load up. There was like a bit of an altercation brewing, and we happened to just be all like, excuse me, through the crowd of people at the wrong time. And some dude who kind of looked like Eazy-E, all I saw was that he looked a little bit like Eazy-E, and I looked up and was like, what's up, dude? And he punched me right in the face, broke my glasses. We dropped the amp. My other friend was there, dropped the amp. He starts brawling. This is a dude who, like, he's a white-collar, like, office guy. He's got, like, his glasses. It's three four-eyed dudes. All our glasses get all fucked up. My friend Brett, he got punched. It cut his eyebrow open. It wasn't that bad, but he was bleeding like hell. And he had to go to the hospital. He started a new job that Monday and had stitches. And that was the one time these dudes came to a Foxfire show.
We're really selling this tour. Randomly wounded. We are not that.
Yeah, bad. It was like, just like, I was literally, we were just walking by. You know, and this dude like thought that
just Millbury Street on a Saturday night.
Yeah, he just thought that we were like shoving aggressively when we were just shoving like, I gotta get to my car, I'm double parked kind of vibe, and he didn't like that.
I still remember it. Brett, his buddy was like, I came around the corner with an amp and just saw this melee happening. Oh, I just threw my head on the ground, and then like I literally had to drag his friend out. Like, I knocked this guy back, and I was like dragging his friend on the sidewalk to get him out of the way. And then like the other dude started like running because a bunch of our friends came out and saw what was happening. Literally chasing down Millbury Street into like The they just disappeared.
And they were fast.
They were quick.
I literally remember being like, I was, feeling goofy, and I was just like, oh shit, this guy's cool looking. And then he just left my glasses right in the middle. I'm holding my glasses there so that I can't see shit without them.
Which is why I always say, be wary of people that look cool.
That's true.
You never know. Never know.
That might be the title of this episode. Be wary of people that look cool.
As a fellow four-eyed person, I'm very sorry that your glasses got broken.
Oh yeah, it was hellish, man. I just thank you for your. I appreciate it.
I got you.
We have been a band so long that I wasn't a four-eyed person then, and now time flies, man.
Yeah.
It's because of that shit show. You got so much dust in your eye, it fucks some stuff up.
It's true. We got to do a science experiment. Like, how much shit in your eye wounds your eye? It's not that much. It's
mostly asbestos. It wasn't even shit.
We were wiping it out with the asbestos.
dabbing the asbestos all over.
Cool. Okay. You probably already have. I mean, I'm sure somebody's asked you before, but I genuinely don't know. Where the fuck did the name Foxfires come from?
Oh, this is great. We can actually. This is real. So there's two. That's science bullshit.
We've been dying to answer this.
It's a two-part answer to this. One, something that timeline-wise I think people should be aware of is that Foxfires, the early years of it, was very close around the time that a really good friend of ours passed away. It was a really dark time. It was difficult, and a lot of the early records in general kind of deal with that. But that is a whole other question. But so Foxfires, the word, it's a moss that grows on decaying trees, and at night it creates like a glowing effect. You can see it,
phosphorescent.
Yeah, phosphorescent light, and it's something that I really just gravitated towards. I love the word. I thought it was such a cool concept that this death can create this sort of like guiding light, and I just really revolved around it. But the fact to take it back to the classic Foxfires, we're very serious but not serious at all. The reason I'm aware of this word at all is me and Connor, our drummer, have known each other since childhood. He was my first friend when I moved to Massachusetts, and we played Magic the Gathering all the time. And there was a card that I was never smart enough or good enough at the game to like figure out how to use, but I always put them in my decks, called Foxfire, because it had really cool art. And it took me 10 years probably before I finally like looked up the definition and was like, holy shit, this is amazing. And to further push this weird narrative I'm now going with, that Foxfires has like multiple meanings at all times, years and years later, sometime before we put out our LP, and we've been around so long that we were like still getting new, I think we had just got a Twitter at that point. Not that Twitter had just existed, but we were like, diving into different social media, and we went to take the Foxfires Twitter account name, and it had already been taken by this woman named Amy Stewart, who is an unbelievably talented artist. And we ended up reaching out to her because I was like, hey, I found out you because you have the name that we have. She's Foxfire Studio is the name she goes by. And she did our LP art later on because it was very, I always described it internally as like Magic the Gathering like art. It's like this beautiful, weird, mystical, like folk magic art. And now, just a few months ago, I saw a puzzle she designed in Target. So,
what?
Foxfires is. Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah, that is an exact art right there. Only the 45-year-old Foxfire.
Dude, he always delivers. It's crazy.
Absolutely incredible.
Always.
Three, man.
Only the foolish fear of Foxfire.
That's really interesting because I feel like now as an adult that I could probably utilize that card quite well. But at 11 years old, no way.
And it's pretty relevant to us.
It's absolutely beautiful. And it's got a little like weird ska mosaic vibe too. I'm not a ska man. I want to be very, very clear about that. I'm sorry, Ricky, but everyone knows.
It's okay. It's okay. That was also just now the first Magic the Gathering card I've ever seen. I have never seen a card in my entire life.
Where did you grow up, Ricky?
Central Mass?
I used to drive into West Boylston to buy Magic the Gathering at, that's what I call Magic the Gathering or whatever it was called.
Now that's a Magic the Gathering.
Big Steve's big cards.
Yeah, never knew. I have a bunch of friends who have played, but I was never invited, and it, probably for the best because I don't know.
Same. I've seen them because of these guys, but
I never did either. I watched kids like playing in the hallway.
Brad doesn't like games.
I'm not a fan of games.
Brad doesn't like games.
I'll say it right here.
No fun.
Another Celtic Time exclusive. Brad doesn't like games.
There's pretty much a portion of every time we practice where we like all just like smoke weed and switch instruments and like fuck around, and Brad just stands there on his phone and patiently waits for it to be over.
He's talking Seltzer Time.
I don't jam.
He doesn't jam.
I don't
no game. Fun in games. With this
Not
guy.
This guy, no.
Give him some tools and a piece of wood.
Business.
All you do is keep Brad entertained at practice.
I just want to swim. Like, I'm in the corner while you guys jam out.
We can do a Fires out. Whittle and chip card like the Cub Scouts used to have or something like that. Or what was the Balsa Wood Racers maybe? Like fastest.
Oh yeah.
Fastest car doesn't need to drive the van on tour or something.
I was a Boy Scout for like 2 weeks, and the 2 weeks I was there was when you made that the car out of wood. And I think the car might still be at my parents' house. Like I got done, I won, and I was like, I'm good. I don't fucking care about this.
I'm in second place, so I'm sure my folks threw it right in the trash.
We did the ones, was it like a CO2 car? You ever do those?
That's down a wire.
Make a piece of wood, and then you like put these like CO2 cartridges in the back and then shoot them, but you had to see who had the most aerodynamic. For some reason, in high school, I was very obsessed with Spam. I called it the Spam Mobile. I didn't eat it. I just thought Spam was everywhere. We didn't eat it.
That was around the birth of irony as a fashion
company. Exactly. I was on the cutting edge of irony.
It's easy to see that we're post irony now, but that was irony.
Very, very early stages of
it. No, but I feel it. Was at a time where I like wore all the shirts with the words on it. Like sleep, clowns will eat me because I wasn't funny enough. I didn't have enough personality, so I needed to portray that on my shirt.
You're like, come on, I'm going to subvert all these teachers with this cool Spam shirt.
Yeah.
In my seventh grade class picture, I defied my parents and I wore a shirt that said, if I was a turd, I would jump out and scare people. And it has like a little thing popping out of a toilet drawn on it. And that's in my like class like school picture from that year. I was like, I don't care, I'm wearing it anyway.
But
now I look back and I'm like,
that's
funny, but I'd be mad.
You're
back.
You're gonna find it.
It's easy to make.
The only photo of me from high school at my parents' house is it's me looking like a complete goober with like insane acne and a shirt that just says "blow up your car, ride a bike," and that has honestly, I have not changed. I'm still here.
Super sick. It's cooler than mine.
That's gnarly as hell.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, there was definitely a shirt that had a guy shoving his finger up his nose that had a sign that just said "Booger sandwiches, 5 cents."
Yeah, that's a good price.
Do these all you
find the shirt? It was a Bargoon. Hot Topic, Ricky.
I was going through the graphic tee rack at PacSun. Those three panel ones that then had one on like the side. Yeah, that's the fucking shirt. That's it. In my
That's incredible.
That's a pretty scary shirt.
Yeah, I never saw that one.
That nowadays I feel it would be banned because you'd look like you were gonna be like trench coat.
I would buy that shirt more like now.
Post irony. We're post irony now.
We should make that. I thought we could sell that.
If I was a turd, I would jump out at a Foxfire show.
I would rage out at a Fox
tour match.
Okay, now we're talking.
Honestly, the kids today, they wear cool stuff.
Write it down. Put in the notes.
We gotta see them make them in like XXXL. It'll be cool.
So, all right, we've already kind of covered this short little tour. We've talked about the album. Like, what's coming? Are you guys going back out this summer? You trying to play anything for the fall?
I think probably the diplomatic answer I'll say is ultimately our expectations are pretty low. That's not the right way to say it.
One day at a time.
Yeah, one day at a time. I would hope, I think, best case scenario, we would do another long weekend or two and a couple one-offs as they pop up. We are definitely not the after it always band anymore, which is not to say we're not open to doing anything all the time. It's just we're so actually, as a great example of the Foxfires trying to do stuff as adults experience, we have had, I believe, three no, maybe two shows booked in Providence as like Providence release shows since we started. It has neither of them have ever happened. They've both been booked. Awesome bands, awesome promoters, awesome venues. Number one, we had to cancel because I forget who, one of us got COVID and we had to cancel it like a couple days out. And that was a real kind of heart rate breaker.
That was me.
Was that you?
I think it was
me. I mean, it could have been any of us. This was like peak.
Early January. Yeah, that was me.
Everybody had kind of like jobs had stopped.
Got me good.
Everybody was back. Like life was chaos and everyone was getting sick. And then, so we had, and up until this point, I think we maybe canceled one show ever, even in our extremely active days. We're very like, no matter what, we're going to do everything we can to play the show. So it really, that kind of hit us in the gut. And then we rebooked the show, went through all this trouble. We were really excited, had to kind of make good with everybody and be like, we're sorry with COVID, you know, and luckily people are pretty understanding. And then our drummer Connor wasn't, you know, who Connor, for those who don't know, is an incredibly good BMX bike rider. Mm-hmm. He's phenomenally talented. Mm-hmm. But he was at a BMX thing with our buddies.
He's no skateboard.
And he put the bike down and decided to kind of like dork around on a skateboard for a second and broke his hand. Like, like his hand the size of a softball. And we had, and he's a great sport, man. He was in it. He was trying every day. He would try to do his little paradiddles or whatever the hell drummers call it. And pretty much
sure, taping the stick to his bloated ass.
Like, hand was so, it was like a like blew up. It was so, I think he sent us was like, make me all throw up. I was like, how can I saw that? He was like,
yeah,
it was like elephantitis of the hand. It was just so crazy and swollen. It was like three times the size. It was crazy.
Everybody's like,
he's like, I don't know if they're guys. Like, no, I don't think so, man.
Everybody's like, I don't know Connor skateboards. I'm like, he does.
Judging by his hand, he does not.
So that's the kind of that's Foxfire's fate. You know, you can't be afraid of a light in the dark, but sometimes it leads you astray.
Ooh!
Nice.
Fucking
wow!
Deep. No more question.
We should have just cut it right there.
I mean, we can.
Technically, we could. Yeah.
Nah, fuck that. So, and then I know it's also everybody has other projects and other shit that they're scheduling around too. So, hell, you boys are partying, and I'm envious.
Sunday.
I got about 20 more minutes.
And
then
I'm like,
back to coffee.
Yeah.
This would be perfect. I got a 12-pack of NAs in the fridge for the Bruins game. So I'll be nice and lit up, and then I'll taper it down with the non-alcoholics. There like a true psychopath.
Yeah, all right. Totally.
That's not a psych. I mean, if anything, that sounds responsible.
Thank you for saying
that. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
You can email that to my manager.
It's a good cover story. It's a great cover story.
My problem is I'm too responsible.
Yeah. What's your greatest weakness? I'm just too responsible.
I'm so hardworking and responsible and always on time in the morning.
Hell yeah. Cool. I don't know. What do we want to wrap up on? You guys got any? We talked about the future, which is possibly Rhode Island.
I feel like we should. yeah, hopefully.
The future's wide open. We're ready for anything.
I feel like if it's okay with you, I feel like we could probably touch on our music video that we did.
It's
pretty epic.
It's so hard, but yeah, that was a crazy weekend. That was.
I've been really yapping it up.
Is it out?
Yeah. Oh yes,
it's on YouTube.
The video's out. It's on YouTube.
It's a short epic film for two of our songs. Each song was like not 50 seconds or something, so we just did two at once. We went to the White Mountains, like up on the Kankamagus at like what, January?
Yeah.
January. And the first portion of filming was we had a little charming little motel, and our friend Metterville, who is just an insane woodsman wildman these days, he slept in his 70s VW van camper with like a little diesel heater running. He just like parked on the side of the road and slept in that, and then we went to this hotel, and we went to Lonesome Lake on Cannon Mountain or whatever.
Up on Cannon at
11 o'clock at night. Like, it was like we're walking through and we're like trekking along on the snow. And then you break through the snow and you fall in up to like your waist. Like, pretty much immediately. It was like, this is here. It was like the middle of the winter, so it was very, very cold. I think it was like negative 20 degree wind chills. We were out in the middle of the lake.
Our beers, we brought a bunch of beers with us up to the top of Lonesome Lake. And by the time we got to the top, all of our beers had frozen. All we had was a little bit of whiskey. And we were drinking that to keep warm. But all the beers just turned into like straight slush.
That's us walking across the frozen ass cold fucking lake. Yeah, here we're like this. All this stuff right here, it was absurdly cold.
We were not prepared anyway. I didn't even have any like thing on my boots for the snow. I forgot to bring it. We were just making it through the ice.
I would hop in here. As me and Jesse do a lot of the like kind of behind the scenes, Jesse does a lot of the booking stuff. I'll do a lot of like the weird nonsense shit in the background. Brad comes for his personality and his good looks. That's how we get to our church.
I'm a locker room guy.
So before this, I had messaged, I believe, once a week for a whole month in advance to say, guys, it is January in the White Mountains. It is going to be fucking freezing. You need long johns, jackets, like really sick gloves. Like, the fact that he was surprised.
The next day, by this part here, we literally just like, this was just like some frozen pond. On the
All right,
side.
Real quick. You guys went home to a hotel, right? You didn't camp
at night. Slept in his van, but we went back to the van. So this one here, we just parked on the side of the road and found like a clearing, and we just built a fire on the ground and just filmed all day. It was like, obviously in these shots, you can see it's like 8 a.m. But the plot of the video would have you believe this is nighttime.
Yeah, the writer was a real moron. I was. He's a fucking idiot.
So this right here is us going to bed at night.
We're really drunk.
Initially, it was like 7:45 a.m.
It's pretty clear that we had to stay up all night to fight off the demon spirit, and then we slept during the day when it was safe.
But after we finished filming this stuff, we went back to the hotel and warmed up. And then we came back at night and just like got hammered and burned more random wood that we found. It's a big moment.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, jeez.
This may be a surprise to you, but the motel aficionado, the head of the motel, really did not like us. They were super upset. They wouldn't give us extra towels.
It was
fucked up.
Look at me.
Why? Because you smelled like burned wood?
Yeah, the second day, all we had was one giant bottle of whiskey, and we just kept drinking it. And like by the end of the night, though, I just remember being like, guys, I think I can't feel my feet, and it's been a little too long. Because we like the fire just wasn't even keeping us warm anymore. At that point, it was just like kind of keeping it lit. We were like, oh, yeah, we can see each other, but it was still amazing. It was just like. The craziest 2 days in the ice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was very, very cool.
I feel like if Headbanging Ball still existed, we would have done great.
Matt Pinfield would just be all about us.
Wasn't that Jamie Josta?
No, you're right.
Wasn't it Jamie Josta in the end? Yeah.
Yeah, it ended with Jamie Josta, yeah. Matt Pinfield, I think.
He did 120 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I think Matt
Pinfield still does stuff.
I've heard Matt Pinfield all the time. That's how old I am.
are there plans to do other videos for songs?
I'm going to be in ground lamps.
Guys, I know you asked if there was anything else we want to talk about, and I just diverted this for an extra 20 minutes talking about the music video. But if I could do one more thing.
Please.
That's perfect. Foxfires. Would you guys mind lifting up your feet together?
Oh, yeah. Dive? Well, we're just, I don't know if the soles of his Crocs mean all that much.
Oh.
Unplanned.
I have old Foxfires.
Foxfires is coming out right now.
Foxfires.
I have here some official Haunted Mansion branded Disney Croc with little Mickey's roll.
Hell yes.
So.
My wife,
these are my nice ones.
Just started drawing weird things on these. It's like a bunch of animals on a camouflage set of Crocs.
It's a real tree.
Now they're like personalized.
Sell it short. It's a real tree. That's good stuff.
That was, I love the fact that this shit, like, this was like, oh, yo, let's talk to Foxfires. And it's been like Magic the Gathering, fucking Crocs. Like,
yeah. So, yeah. No, what I want to know is, when's the Foxfire Gibbets coming out?
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Oh, I haven't heard any bands doing Gibbet.
There's a hole in the market. There's a hole in the market.
And there's a hole in your shoe. Yeah. Hey, Brad.
Several holes.
I'm ready.
Well, we're going to drop a couple 10 G's on our next weekend. Make sure we can get some Gibbets in there.
I'm just so happy that Brad didn't wear the Crocs to the White Mountain shoot. Like, that would suck.
Your guess was thinking about it.
He had really sick, like, Vans snow boots. I remember they were cool as hell, but they had no.
Yeah, it was, we were walking. No redeeming value.
Yeah, yeah.
They looked really great, though.
They looked really good. He looked great.
I'm not a big boot. These
fucking sick Vans boots.
I'm not a big boot
good.
Fashion over function.
Dude, I feel the same way. All I ever wear are those, when it's snowing out, are those Vans, like the all-weather ones. And yeah, I go for a hike every year with my dad and my brother on New Year's Day. And like something like this year, it was like 60. It didn't matter. But most of the time it's like fucking negative degrees and snowing and gross. And I always show up in these like all weather Vans. My dad's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You're a pair of boots. I'm like, eh.
This is close. This gets me through.
When people are like, I got some boots for the winter, and they put on Doc Martens, and they're just like,
yeah.
Walking on ice all the time.
I'm sure anytime people see me in real life, it's pretty obvious that I'm a function over fashion guy. I look like
shit. It's beautiful.
You guys can laugh. It doesn't have to be serious.
No, but I feel similarly. I wear a t-shirt and jeans just to cover my naked body. I'm
this
not
is the first time I put jeans on all week. I've been wearing Discharge sweatpants like every day. Then I washed them one day and just wore gym shorts that day, and then I put the sweatpants back.
What are Discharge sweatpants? Like, you were just discharged from the hospital? Oh.
Like, yeah,
he's had a little discharge lately.
Yeah. I wore Discharge soap sweatpants for like.
That's why I wear a shirt that just says leaks easily.
No, they're like
leaks when excited.
I don't know if they still do it anymore, but we can do another little shout out to Realm of Comfort. They made like gym shorts and sweatpants for like
what are you signing up?
What are we looking at?
Signed up for something.
Steve's trying to buy himself some.
He made death metal and like old punk band and like metal band like shorts and pants. So I got like some Black Sabbath sweats. I got Motorhead sweats, and then my girlfriend ordered the Discharge sweats, but they didn't fit, so they became mine.
Yes. Nice. Living in the sweats.
I am in the realm of comfort. I don't know if he's making anything anymore, but. It was pretty sick. He had like mortician like gym shorts and like, you know, fans like the Venom.
That's cool. Fantastic.
Realm of Comfort. Check it out.
All right.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, boys. Well, we should probably steer this towards some type of ending. This is taking a turn, and I love every fucking minute of it.
I wonder what's caused that. You think the six nips and four IPAs?
I mean, I've been matching you with rips off the pen, and I finished all the things I have here on my table. So
I'm just going to honor.
All right, so Ricky can't ask the final question. Travis, it has to be you, obviously.
Where can people find more music or information about Foxfires?
I would say that if you're just trying to jam out, I hate to give them any credit in the world, but Spotify is your best bet for almost all of our records. Soon we'll have our first EP on there as well. Apple Music as well.
Bandcamp? You guys on Bandcamp?
Bandcamp for sure.
The best one.
Yeah. Actually, check them out on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
100% Bandcamp. Everything that we have put out is on our personal Foxfires Bandcamp. Our latest EP is on the Glue Man Records Bandcamp. Glue Man from Worcester, shout out, putting out a record. They're phenomenal. AJ is the best.
AJ.
So all of our stuff's on Bandcamp. That money goes directly to the label and the bands, which is obviously cool. And I think almost everything that we've put out, everything that we put out ourselves is pay what you want. Feel free to pay nothing. It's not a dig. We would love that. I'd rather people listen. Glue Man, you know, it's, I think, $4.99 for the digital version of the latest EP. So it's pretty reasonable. Spotify's fine. If that's the way you roll, no problem. Apple Music's fine. If you want to get in touch with us, Instagram is probably our most active social media.
Yeah, we can email you the songs if you want.
Yeah, I will straight up come hum the song for you if you'll
pay my really? I want Josh to come hum the songs. I'll spend 10 minutes just listening to the new album.
I can tell.
And Jesse could tell you. You're I'm really
seven,
good.
Buddy.
Yeah. I'm great. I can roll right through any song unless I'm two joints in with Jesse. And then I'm like, wait, what was the second part of this?
My favorite moments at practice are after the jam session when we start playing Foxfire songs again. And Josh is just like, no, no, no.
I put too many words in there, so if I fuck up one syllable, it's all over, man.
Yeah, you fall out of rhythm.
Give him a chance.
A lot of words. The lyrics shoot for our debut 7 inches in like 6-point font, maybe smaller. it looks like a fucking Bible.
I wrote an article a while ago about like lyrical motivation and like what gets you pumped up, what you write about. And I did the math out for the words per minute, I believe. And there was one record. Not one record, almost all of our records, it was like absolutely astounding. And in fact, I would put it against almost anyone unless you were legitimately a syllable focused rap artist.
Trista.
I think, yeah, like if you aren't Trista, I think I'd right up there.
We're talking to Guinness Book of Records, we're gonna be getting into them, so we might be able
catch
to
catch us on there, please.
If you were trying to listen to a 20 minute EP with 400,000 words in it. Boy, do we have a band for you.
It's called the Foxfire Challenge. It's going to be on TikTok next week. If you can say all the lyrics in a row, you win.
You can sing for our band.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So I find out this is brutal.
Yeah. Well, so the winner gets to headline the Ripley's Believe It or Not tour, where you guys just play all the different Ripley's locations next summer.
Yeah. Check us out on the Ripley's Believe It or Not tour.
2025. Thank you.
Years, it's worth it. It's worth the wait.
Yeah.
The subhead will be the real taste of chaos.
This has been an absolute treat, gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure was
having you.
This was awesome. Go Bruins.
Go Bees.
Go Bees.
Big game today.